So we are in the seventh week of a 13-week sermon series focused on the Gospel of Matthew, the first of four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament. And when you compare Matthew's gospel with the other three, Mark, Luke, and John, it's evident that Matthew wrote his account of the life of Jesus to demonstrate to his mostly Hebrew audience that Jesus was the Messiah King and that his kingdom is above all other kingdoms. The Hebrew people, of course, knew that the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, would someday come as a child, as a son, and that all earthly governments would rest on his shoulder. They knew that his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and that his kingly rule, there would be no end. They knew this. Matthew makes clear in his gospel that this is who Jesus is. And why, because of this, why Matthew was willing to leave everything to follow him. Matthew had been a tax collector before meeting Jesus, and he used his position to exploit his own people to Rome. To Rome's benefit and also to his own. But when Jesus called Matthew away from extortion to follow him, he willingly left behind his own wealth and power because he had become convinced that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and that he alone was worthy of worship. And so Matthew took his first step into the kingdom of God as a new follower of Jesus by repenting. He changed the course of his self-centered life by devoting the rest of his life to self-sacrifice in allegiance to his new king and ruler. Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man," a reference to himself, Jesus said, "just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." For Matthew, following Jesus was, in the words of Jim Elliot, worth giving up what he realized he could not keep to gain what he realized he could never lose. Jesus was worth it all. And his gospel is a testimony to that truth. And so we're going to be looking at four chapters in Matthew this morning, chapters 14 to 17. And I'll just suggest that you find a Bible on your phone or one in front of you. It's going to really help you as we engage with this morning's message. So if you can find a Bible that is in a chair, maybe near you, in front of you, maybe underneath you, or pull one up on your phone, we're in Matthew 14 to 17, and if you have it there before you, it's going to really help you to get the most out of this message. As we look at these four chapters, we're going to be introduced to people who have various different responses to Jesus. And because Jesus had already made it clear in his Sermon on the Mount what kind of people would inherit the kingdom of God, it won't be surprising that the proud and the self-righteous would struggle more with forsaking everything to follow Jesus than those who are poor in spirit, mourning, meek, merciful, pure in heart, the peacemakers. As we look at the various stories contained in these four chapters, I really want to invite you to imagine yourself, if you can, in each one and ask, how would you have responded to Jesus in this situation? Can you relate to the faith that you see, or perhaps to the lack of faith that we see of these people with whom Jesus interacts? How does God want to speak to you this morning from these stories? Like Matthew, every person in these stories had to determine if Jesus was worth following. And like them, the question before each one of us every day is this: is Jesus worth following today? Is he worth it? How are we doing? All right, let's pray. So God, we're thankful for your word, and we're always appreciative of the ways in which you oversaw the preservation of your word throughout time, so that we can have with confidence, we can have the assurance that what we're reading is exactly what you wanted us to have. Your word, your truth. Holy Spirit, would you reveal the truth of your word to us even in greater levels, and would you speak to us now, we ask. In your name and to your glory, amen. Amen. Chapter 14. So I've asked the team to put up just the passages. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse exposition. I'm going to make comments on each section, and this is the reason why having your Bible open is going to be really helpful to you. So we're going to begin in Matthew 14, verses 1 to 12. That's where we're going to begin our study. Matthew 14 begins with the details of John the Baptist's execution. In chapter 11, we had looked at earlier, Matthew wrote that while John was in prison for speaking out against the immorality of Herod Antipas, who was among the most wealthy and powerful individuals at the time, he began to wonder about the true identity of Jesus, the one that he had already publicly declared as the Lamb of God who would come to take away the sin of the world. But due to his circumstances now in prison, he began to have some questions about Jesus's identity and who he really was. So some doubts began to arise in John's mind, and we looked at that in Matthew 11. While being imprisoned, John had to ask this question: was the possibility of dying for what he had once been convinced of, was it worth it? Was this Jesus worth it? Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21, in this next account where it says that Jesus fed 5,000 men, a whole bunch of women and children, at least 10,000 people altogether, with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus' disciples, they find themselves in a potentially dangerous situation. I don't know if you've ever been around hungry kids. This is 10,000 very hungry people, a potentially dangerous situation. The crowd had gathered from multiple towns to this remote location in pursuit of Jesus and his miracles, but they forgot to bring dinner. So Jesus, he just heals them one after another. And it takes a while, and day turns to evening. And the disciples began to wonder, where is everyone going to find food to eat? So they proposed to Jesus that he stop the miracles and that he send everybody away. But Jesus said, nope, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. So this put the disciples in a dilemma. Was obeying Jesus in this moment worth giving up their own meal, their own well-being, and their own personal safety? Was Jesus worth it? Matthew 14, verses 22 to 36. Next, we come to the famous story of Jesus walking on water. After they fed the crowd, Jesus told the disciples to get into their boats and begin making their way back to Gennesaret, a town on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. But because of the strong headwind, we're told, the trip lasted a lot longer than they had been expecting. Meanwhile, Jesus, after a long day of healing hundreds of people, if not more, he went up alone on a mountainside to pray. Sometime around 3 o'clock in the morning, or maybe a little bit later, Jesus left the mountainside and he began his journey by foot to Gennesaret, by foot on water across the lake. And after some time, as Jesus came alongside the boat filled with weary paddlers, they looked over and they thought that what they were seeing was a ghost. And I don't know if you've ever been sleep deprived, but weird things appear when you haven't gotten enough sleep. And so we don't blame them for thinking that what they were seeing was a ghost. Plus, it's somebody walking on water. So no blame there. But it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. Peter, still in understandable disbelief, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come, come. At that moment, Peter had to decide. He had a decision to make in that moment. If getting out from the safety of the boat to do something crazy on a stormy night in the middle of a lake was really a good idea, was getting to Jesus worth taking that risk? Was he worth it? How are we doing? Matthew 15, in our second chapter, verses 1 to 20. Chapter 15 begins with some Pharisees and teachers of the Jewish law coming to Jesus from Jerusalem to question him about why his disciples weren't practicing certain Jewish traditions that were considered sacred. Jesus answered the religious leaders by pointing out their own hypocrisy. And predictably, this offended them, which did not go unnoticed by his disciples. Afterwards, we can read this in the text. Afterwards, the disciples, they approached Jesus privately to let him know that he had offended the religious leaders. It seems that they probably would have been a little more comfortable observing just another Jewish tradition over offending Jewish elders and possibly being expelled from the community. So what's one more Jewish tradition? Come on, Jesus. Once again, Jesus had put his disciples in an uncomfortable position, right? Put yourself in their shoes. Was Jesus really worth risking their reputation and potential career opportunities in their communities? Was he worth the cost of offending people in power? That's the question that they had to wrestle with. Was he worth it? Matthew 15, 21 to 28. The contrast between the story we just referenced and this one is profound. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Notice how the Jewish religious leaders approach Jesus compared to how this non-Jewish woman in this story approached her. The way the differences are huge. This desperate mother had heard enough about Jesus to believe that he might be able to give her daughter some relief from whatever was tormenting her. So she found Jesus and called out to him to heal her daughter. And you can read this in the text. But Jesus didn't reply. His disciples urged Jesus instead to send this annoying woman away. This woman had to make her own decision in this moment. Did her belief about who Jesus was make it worth pushing through the resistance she was getting from his disciples? And seemingly also even from Jesus himself by his silence. Must have felt like Jesus maybe didn't care about her suffering daughter. But what she had been told was that Jesus did care for everyone, Jewish people and Gentile people alike. That's what she had been told, and that's what she believed. But by pressing in, she was potentially exposing herself to further humiliation. Some of you know what this is like. And the question is being humiliated in response to who Jesus is worth it? Matthew 15, 29 to 39. The stories, they just continue this way, if you haven't picked up. They just go over and over again with people who are confronted with this question, is Jesus worth it? In Matthew 15, 29 to 39, the disciples are again faced with a situation where they where there wasn't enough to feed a large crowd. It's another feeding the masses story. It's a different account. Jesus provided, I think, one of the reasons why we get this story a second time is because our God is a God of second chances. Amen? It's good news. Sometimes we don't get it the first time around. And so he's got to do it again. Different crowd, but same provision. So they struggled with a question that many of us actually in this room I know can relate to. Just because he did it once, will he do it again? Just because he provided yesterday, does that mean I can trust him to provide for me today? This is a question that we ask. And the disciples are asking this question. They're in a situation. Can God be trusted in this situation? Can God be trusted with my situation, with your situation? Is Jesus still trustworthy? Matthew 16, verses 1 to 12. We read, we're now in the third chapter, if you're keeping score. Matthew 16, we read that some Pharisees and some Sadducees who apparently had not spent much time with Jesus up until this point, they approach him asking for a sign from heaven. This is what we've been reading about, one sign after another. But these people, they just come from Jerusalem. They don't know what's going on. They show up. Hey, Jesus, give us a sign from heaven. Prove yourself. says that they asked him this question as a way to test him, which was a trick that Jesus was familiar with. He had spent 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism, being tested one after another by the devil himself. Jesus knew this trick, and he wasn't going to fall for it. Too many religious leaders who get seduced by power of the establishment and other temptations. Sometimes we would just rather test Jesus than trust him. For these individuals, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus was not worth following. Matthew 16, 13 to 28. As the opposition to Jesus' teaching and ministry grew among the Jewish leaders and their threats against him and his followers increased, Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he was. Who do people say that I am? Peter knew exactly who Jesus was, and he says it boldly, which must have made his denial of Jesus the night before Jesus' crucifixion that much more painful. Jesus knew full well. Peter knew full well who Jesus was. But in this moment, Peter boldly declared that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised Son of the living God. Jesus says, "You're right." Verse 21, it says that from this time on, and there's a turn in the story as Matthew is telling it. From this time on, verse 21, chapter 16, from this time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Hallelujah. This meant that the opposition to Jesus and his followers was not going to be going away, but actually it was going to increase. And again, the disciples found themselves in this tough situation. To what extent was following Jesus worth it? All the way to his death, all the way to theirs. The question that they had to wrestle with was how much of their life was he worth it? Matthew 17, verses 1 to 22, our fourth chapter, we've made it. Chapter 17 begins with what feels a bit like the calm before the storm. Jesus took three of his disciples up on a mountaintop where they were visited by Moses and Elijah. And I find it so intriguing that these two heavenly dwellers made an earthly visit at the same time that Jesus on earth took on the form of a heavenly dweller. I love this story. How awesome is the account of the transfiguration. But then they heard something that was actually even more awesome than what was happening visually. They heard the voice of God, and it sounded like thunder declaring, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him," this thunderous voice said. And you would think that after having this mountaintop experience, that the disciples would be so filled with faith that they would even be able to move Mount Everest. But in the very next story, beginning in verse 14 of chapter 17, Jesus called out their lack of faith for not being able to help a boy suffering from a series of violent seizures. It's their lack of faith that Jesus was calling out. In verse 23, we read that rather than being filled with faith, in fact, they were filled with grief as the reality of Jesus' impending death began to sink in and perhaps begin to distract them and erode some of their confidence. The storm was brewing off the horizon. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27, a shorter section. The chapter ends with a story that if it could be repeated over and over and over again, it would make everyone in the world agree that following Jesus is totally worth it. If what happens in these chapter verses would happen over and over, everybody in the world would be following Jesus. It's the account of Jesus seemingly magically, but though we happen to know it was miraculously, he made money that was needed for the temple tax appear in the mouth of a fish. Is Jesus worth it? You would ask people in the world. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If he will pay my taxes, I'll follow him everywhere and anywhere. But I have to say, I think there's something fishy about that motivation. You saw that coming. Long ago, I had to ask myself if Jesus was worth it. I was a new Christian on a campus with no other Christians that I knew of on campus. I was living on a floor with a bunch of great guys who loved to party. For me at the time, following Jesus meant not going out partying, but staying in my room, home, alone. It meant eating meals alone. It meant being mocked for praying before eating. And it missed out. It meant that I would miss out on fraternizing with other students at local bars and potentially having a good time. I remember many weekend nights in my room alone as a new Christian asking myself, is Jesus really worth this degree of loneliness? When I was offered a ministry position within a Varsity Christian Fellowship my senior year in college, I knew it meant giving up on a secure living that would have come with a teacher's salary and benefits. My parents had certain expectations of me, and I wondered if disappointing them would be worth it. More significantly, I had a girlfriend that I really wanted to marry. How would my insecure financial prospects go over with her and her parents? Was I putting my plans to marry Beverly in jeopardy? And if so, was saying yes to Jesus at this particular vocational crossroad, was it worth it? These are the questions that I had to ask. I've literally been physically attacked for sharing my faith. I've been mocked by unbelievers for having faith. And I've been treated unfairly by people of faith. None of these situations have been pleasant or comfortable. And there have been times where I've had to ask the question, is following Jesus worth this? What about you? Enough about me. What about you? As we've looked at these chapters in Matthew, we can likely relate to many of the same temptations and situations as the people on these pages. And we might find ourselves asking the question, is Jesus worth following along with them? John the Baptist, he answered this question with a resounding yes when they came for his head on a platter. Jesus is worth dying for. The disciples, when faced with a hungry crowd, gave away all that they had to others. Not once, but twice. Yes, Jesus was worth denying themselves. Peter answered yes with each step on the waves. Jesus was worth trusting even in the storm. And though it always made them uncomfortable when Jesus rightly confronted people in power, his disciples kept showing up. They stayed by his side day after day. Though it cost them their reputation and any hopes that their parents may have had for their futures, showing up again and again with Jesus was their answer. Jesus was worth surrendering their future prospects and respectability. The woman with the sick daughter would not let her humiliation by others keep her from Jesus. Jesus was worth the denigration. And here's my perspective. Following Jesus, it hasn't nor will it always be easy. But he has always been, and I know will always be, worth it. Peter, before his martyrdom, before he was put to death for his faith in Christ, reflected on his life as a Christ follower, and he wrote this. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ, who suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Knowing what following Jesus would ultimately cost him, Jesus said, he's worth it. He is worthy of it all. And knowing what it would ultimately cost him, Jesus also had to wrestle with this question. Is he worth it? On the night that he was arrested, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and his two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed this, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. By submitting his will to the Father's, Jesus declared his Father worthy of it all. Jesus willfully became the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Why? Why would he do this? There's only one reason why he would do this, and it's because you are worth it. That's the reason why. Every one of you is worth it. You are so valued you are worth so much to God. That even before you and I became aware of our own need for a Savior, Jesus took care of our problem. Oh, I have a problem? Yep, and Jesus took care of it. Will you trust him? That sounds good. Yes. This is how much Jesus loves you. When I think about Jesus on the cross, I think about him stretching out his arms, taking upon himself while doing this, taking upon himself our sin, your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, so that you and I can enjoy forever a life with God. To him, you are worth his life. And the question that we all have to ask every day is, how much of yours is he worth to you? Is he worth it? So we get to respond. We get to respond. I'm going to give us a moment. I'm supposed to invite up musicians. I'm inviting up the musicians. We are going to respond. So we're just going to have a moment of silence. There might be a temptation to pray out or speak out, but let's just be silent before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit speak to us from what we've read, perhaps how he's been speaking to us. Let's let it go a little deeper into our souls. So let's just reflect and meditate on God's word. Perhaps you've had a week like mine where you learned about a friend facing a very difficult situation. They were blindsided. They didn't see it coming. And it's hard. And they're asking questions. Following Jesus in this hardship worth it? Perhaps you're in a situation and it just looks like it would be so much easier if you could just do things your way. It seems like the more you submit your life to God, the harder life gets. That's your situation, the disciples would say, yeah, we get it. But you might be where I've been. You might be, is it worth it? I'm going to pray for you. If this is a prayer for you, or maybe it's for somebody you know, would you receive it? God, for my sisters and my brothers here online, God, I pray that you would give them perspective. God, I pray that you would show up, that you would wrap your arms around them. God, that you would remind them how loved they are, yes, even in this circumstance. that nothing about the circumstance changes who you are. God, remind them of your presence. Remind them of your love. God, give them the hope that they need to trust you in this moment. See them through. Protect them. Keep them. Hold them. Comfort them. Deliver them. Heal them. Jesus, you are worth it. Some of you are here perhaps and you're like, I wanna trust in Jesus like this. Sounds cool. Sounds good. I wanna believe in a God like this. And I wanna believe that he's worthy of my life. And I wanna give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy of my life. Take it today and do with it as you will. Not my will, but yours. So if that's you, this prayer is for you. Whether you're here or joining us online. God, I thank you that for most of us in this room, you have brought us to a place of saying, following Jesus beats all the alternatives. God, I pray that you would give my friends the faith to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and to be saved. God, give them the faith to take that first step of repentance, to say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to say yes to you, Jesus. Give them the faith to say, Jesus, you are worth my life. You gave your life to me. You are worth all of mine. I surrender my life to you now in Jesus' name. Thank you for cleansing me of my sin. Thank you for making me a new person. I celebrate, God, the work of your Spirit in my life. You are worthy of all worship and praise. And you get to say this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.